But first, what's the perfect drug for a culture of distraction? Adderall. Sales of the prescription stimulant have increased exponentially, and not always legally, especially to young adults. Casey Schwartz spent her 20s gulping down prescription stimulants to help her get through school and start her career, and she wrote about it in a story for the New York Times Magazine called Generation Adderall.
I took my first Adderall towards the beginning of college. A dear friend of mine had some, and I was telling her, I'm in a pickle because I have an essay due tomorrow on a book I have not begun reading yet. And she said, oh, well, have you ever tried an Adderall? Someone gave them to me, but I don't like them because it makes me want to stay up doing cartwheels in the hallways all night.
And you thought, that sounds pretty good.
I thought that is the most fantastic description. Fork it over immediately. So she did. So that night was truly euphoric at the Brown University Library, just reading this book, writing this essay, feeling, you know, utterly inspired, like I had tapped into something that I had never had access to before.
People say this, and I still don't understand what that must feel like. Okay, so what exactly does it feel like?
You feel a sense of intensity. You feel locked in. Everything else fades away. Nothing else really matters except the work at hand. And you don't feel tired. There's no threat that you are going to run out of energy. So I could just bear down with the full force of my attention on whatever the material was.
So no part of you thought, oh my God, I'm so sick of this paper. I don't want to write this. Maybe I'll go stop by the cafeteria for a little bit.
Exactly. None of those diversions were appealing.
So when Adderall works like this, what exactly is Adderall doing in the brain? What are the changes that it's making that lets it have that effect and also that makes it addictive?
Well, like many addictive substances, Adderall unleashes like cascades of dopamine, which is the feel-good neurotransmitter associated with all kinds of things that feel good.
It's
not
the
just
reward.
Drugs.
Reward.
It's the reward. It's
the
right? Right. So you can see that because when you're taking Adderall, these very dry things, you know, neuroscience textbooks, suddenly what you're reading in them become fascinating, literally rewarding in a way that they wouldn't be if you didn't have this sort of waterfall of dopamine like drenching your brain. So but what happens with any addiction or when you're chronically exposed to a substance like that, your brain tries to compensate, tries to maintain a kind of homeostasis by downregulating the actual dopamine receptors in your brain because it's too much. So it's trying to fight back in the opposite direction. And that becomes a very big problem the more time you spend on the drug.
So that at that point, in order to have any of that wonderful reward feeling that we get thanks to dopamine, you pretty much had to be taking Adderall. You know, just a cup of cocoa wouldn't cut it anymore.
No, that's true. Exactly. And that's why people have to continually up their dose of any substance that they're dependent on in order to get that same initial high.
Were you secretive about it? I mean, did you feel ashamed of what you were doing?
Yes. No one really knew the extent of what I was doing. And this despite the fact that I'm extremely close to my friends and family. People knew that I was on Adderall, sort of, but the extent to which this substance came to really control my life for 10 years, no one knew.
So at some point, you had a bad experience. I don't know if you'd call it an overdose, but something like that. What happened?
Yes. This was senior year, towards the end of the first semester. It was finals week in college. I had just taken just way too many pills, was barely sleeping, and I was in the library trying to finish a paper for my Russian history class. And I just all of a sudden the strangest sensation came over me where I just felt like I wasn't really in my body or in the room, like I was very divorced from reality. So it was so intense. I called my friend Dave and I said, I don't know what's happening, but I need you to come. It was blizzarding in Providence. And we wound up at the nearby hospital where it turned out I had had a panic attack induced by amphetamines, which is actually not so uncommon for people who are taking Adderall.
Hmm. What were the doctors, the physicians like? Did you feel like you picked up a sense of any scorn from them?
Oh, I mean, definitely. I mean, I remember the doctor who treated me so well. He was sort of, he was probably in his early 30s, very attractive guy. It was like, it was like one of those New England blizzarding nights, probably 1 a.m. at this point. And he just looked at me with such, you know, skepticism and more incredulity than concern. And I was trying to sort of lighten the mood, but you know, it just didn't, you know, it was like, it was such a striking encounter for me because I wasn't used to being treated or seen that way or seeing that expression on people's faces when they were dealing with me.
No, here you were a student at Brown University. You've probably been upwardly mobile your entire life. And suddenly you get an authority figure looking at you like you're scum.
Yeah. Or just you're a wreck, you know, was the implication. I remember I was on the phone with my father a couple of days later. You know, I told him about what had happened. And I said, you know, God, this doctor was just looking at me like I was totally nuts. And I was expecting my dad to sort of be on my side. But what he actually said was, well, in fact, you were nuts. You were nuts for taking that number of pills.
What was it like to get off of it? Like for the first few weeks? Because you described how dependent your brain gets. I suppose you had to go through a period of time when there were just no reward chemicals in your system anywhere, which I can't imagine.
Well, by that point, by the time I actually did manage to get off when I was 30, I had so internalized the reasons why I had to get off. And there truly were these instant consolations as well. And this feeling of sweetness that sort of seeped back into my life that I had been missing for years, this feeling of just being able to savor the day, savor a conversation, laugh with friends, not be in a frenzy, not be in an artificial rush. All of these things kicked in immediately and actually were so important in sustaining the not being on the Adderall.
So that's good.
Yes.
That's good to know. So I always think that the drugs that become kind of cult hits for a while, as Valium did in the 50s, for a certain, you know, segment of women especially, as antidepressants did for my generation of college students, Prozac Nation. I think that those drugs become important to us because there's something profound going on culturally, and the drugs essentially are letting us cope with something dysfunctional about the culture at the time. Do you think that about Adderall?
100%, and that's so well put. The internet entered American life at almost the exact same time as Adderall did. This is the mid-90s. And that both have just exploded since. So they've just been perfect partners and proceeded in perfect lockstep for the last 20 years. And when you think about it, it actually makes total sense because the internet is a source of constant distraction. It sort of pixelates our attention spans. We all know it. We all feel it. And so we turn to these pills in an attempt to sort of patch ourselves back together.
And at the same time, I wonder if there is something about the quality of attention that Adderall gives you that somehow is also a version of the quality of attention required when you're on the internet, or that using the internet produces, because we all know what that feels like, right? You get on meaning to look something up, and 60 minutes later, you're down some incredibly elaborate wormhole of floating from site to site to site. And there's something sort of blissful about that. I mean, does Adderall feel like that?
Totally. Yeah, because you're in a kind of twilight state. You're outside of normal life or something. But there's also something, I never have found it blissful, to be honest. I always find it a little bit subtly sickening to be on those internet rabbit holes. And I feel like there's a shallowness to it that accords perfectly with the Adderall experience, where you think you're sort of plumbing the depths of something, but actually you've narrowed your vision down to an extreme.
Hmm. So what would you say to a high school kid or a college kid right now who's thinking about taking Adderall, who's worried that they can't keep up in college. They can't, and they look around and nobody else seems to be having problems. And their roommate says, here, try this.
Look, I mean, of course, I'm not a doctor, and there's been a lot of criticism of the piece saying, you know, how could I not legitimize ADHD? Well, it was not my intention to delegitimize it. But I would just say that it was not until I managed to get myself off Adderall that my life could really progress and that I could really start making strides towards any of the things that mattered to me. So that ultimately Adderall cost me so much and gave me very, very little.
What do you wish somebody had said to you? Besides that.
I wish someone had said, look, it's okay to be young, confused, and feel ineffectual and pointless and lost. It's totally okay. That's normal. It's even necessary. And don't skip that part. You have to feel that confusion in order to find your way to clarity. And being on a pill, by definition, you have obscured how you really feel about things and what you're really interested in, what you're really passionate in. You're not going to get there on this pill.
Casey Schwartz is a science journalist. Her story, Generation Adderall, appeared in a recent issue of the New York Times Magazine. She's also just written a book about the new science of neuropsychoanalysis. It's called In the Mind Fields.